Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. We're recording this just a few hours after Nebraska loses to Michigan 30-27 in a very frustrating game. We're going to cover all the highs and lows and in-betweens and lows of that game. Very soon. Make sure to get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Like this episode, subscribe on YouTube, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. Also, Common Fans, after a loss, if you're like me, you're going to want to eat your feelings. Yeah. What's more Nebraskan than football and beef? Oak Barn Beef is a family-owned farm right in Nebraska, shipping premium dry-aged beef straight to your doorstep nationwide, any doorstep nationwide. Whether you're stocking the freezer, grilling for game day, or looking for a gift that actually impresses, Oak Barn Beef has got you covered. Check them out at oakbarnbeef.com. That's oakbarnbeef.com. And taste the difference of Nebraska-raised dry-aged beef.
Yes.
Guys,
Zingenberg, would you just let him get through the damn ad
read? Well, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the beef. I'm excited about the beef.
I don't mind the gesticulations, Jeff. It wasn't distracting at all. Don't worry.
I was distracted.
In these times right now, I just need all the positive aura I can get. Bring me the beef. I need positive aura.
We're here for you, Jeff. So that's
Thank
good.
You.
That's
important. Appreciate that.
Listen, I was ready to rage record after the game. As Comet fans know, I live in the Pacific time zone, and so the game ended around 4 p.m. my time. So I took the family to 5 p.m. Mass, so I feel like that's probably going to help things a little bit, but yeah. I still feel a lot of anger. So
I'm glad you cool off for a little bit, because that text thread was getting a little dicey.
And spicy.
The text thread was not appropriate for the Common Fan.
Yeah, you went to Mass after you texted those words to us, TJ?
I asked for forgiveness, Matt, okay?
Okay, that's good. We're all sinners, TJ.
That's right. We're all flawed. We're all flawed sinners. But what we are going to do, we're going to do corn cobs, and then I'm gonna vent a little bit.
I think we all do. I've got opinions too, believe it or not.
Yeah, I know. I think that's good. I think that's good. Let's do corn cobs. Corn cob segment is brought to you by the Nebraska Farm Bureau, the largest agricultural organization in the state with more than 56,000 members. For over a century, Farm Bureau has supported Nebraska's farm and ranch families, but their impact stretches far beyond the field. They grow leaders, amplify voices at the Capitol, and strengthen communities across our state. Agriculture is the backbone of Nebraska. When it thrives, we all thrive. Yeah. Join Nebraska Farm Bureau at nefb.org. That's nefb.org. All right. Corn cobs. Matty O, why don't you start us off?
I'm going to go with, I think the obvious one. Well, maybe not terribly obvious. I'm going to go with Ja'Cory Barney Jr. Seven catches, I think 120 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Yeah, he fielded that punt inside the five, but the guy is so electric with the ball. I give him a little bit of a pass. I mean, I don't know what where we're at without Ja'Cory in that game. So,
yeah,
guy continues to be electric. I'm so excited to watch him play the rest of the season and next couple of years. Corn cob to Ja'Cory. Deuce.
He caught the Hail Mary, and then he had that catch right before our last touchdown when they almost called targeting, and he got popped,
blasted.
He got popped.
Yeah, he did.
And as he always does, he just popped bounced up. Right back up.
Yeah,
he just bounced right back up.
Yeah, he cannot be killed with conventional weapons, TJ.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right, Geoff, what about you?
Well, so I actually went to the game and it was great. It was great. The loss sucked, but the game was actually really fun. Atmosphere is great. And what I mean by atmosphere is when they said Archie Wilson's name, when they announced him on the board at the beginning of the game, I think that was the loudest eruption of cheers when they named off all the
starting lineup. Yeah.
Yes. It was so loud. So I'm going to give it to Archie, man. Like, and he played well during the game. He did what he was supposed to do, hit his punts, pinned him deep, had really put us in good field position every time. So I'm giving it to Archie. Special teams, we're turning around, baby. I'm giving it to
He's
him.
A stud. He had at least, I know for sure, at least 250-plus yard punts.
Yes.
There was like a 53, a 56. Dude.
Yeah.
He had four punts for 197 yards, so averaged almost 50 yards a punt. His long was 56
That'll
yards.
Do.
Yeah.
That'll do, guys.
That'll do just fine.
And I remember
going to help us out. Long run, boys, long run. He's going to be, Rule said he's a weapon. He is a weapon.
He's absolutely a weapon. I remember thinking before the Cincinnati game, this guy's never punted before. Like he's trained for this, but he's never been under the big lights before. Did great against Cincinnati. Then we had two games where we didn't really need him. And then I thought about it again going into this game. This guy's 18. He's barely played any football in his life. And this is Big Ten play. Like, what if the stage is too big for him? Whatever. Archie is the least of our concerns right
no.
now.
Right.
Dude, the punting unit is in good hands.
You think he can play D tackle? You think Archie can play D tackle? Or Mike linebacker?
Let's give it a whirl. Let's give it a whirl. Let's just see.
Let's ask him. all right. My corn cob. I'm going to give mine. I'm going to split mine. And the defense, the defense left a lot to be desired. I'll have to ask for forgiveness from the board, not permission, but, the defense, left a lot to be desired. But I'm going to go with, it's funny because he's kind of down on the tackle list. I mean, Shavers had seven tackles. Shavers looked good.
Yeah.
Donovan Jones, Rex Guthrie, a lot of defensive backs had tackles, which is not always a good thing, when they get into that level of defense, but I'm going to split my Deson McCullough. Had two tackles. Is that just two? I feel like he had more. He had some major impact plays.
Yeah. I feel like he had a big sack. He had a big sack and a big tackle for loss that were like the kind of the two big splash plays we had on D. There wasn't a lot, you know, on D, but they were definitely memorable.
Yeah. And then the other one is Javen Wright, who led the team in tackles and had 10 tackles. It's just great to see him out there. As everyone knows this story, he's in his like seventh year. He's battled blood clots. He's battled injuries. He's been with the program a long time. His dad played at Nebraska. Like, it's a great story. So awesome to see Javen Wright lead the team in tackles. And his stop, it didn't end up mattering, but he made a major stop on third and goal before Michigan's last field goal, which was like Michigan's last, their second to last possession, I guess. But that tackle he made was big time.
Yeah.
A field goal. Nebraska went down and scored a touchdown. It was an important stop. Could have been better. That's what it was. Okay. That's corn cobs.
Corn cobs, baby.
We have a new segment. It's sponsored by Depends, or at least it should be. We've been talking about leaky runs a lot, and we've been talking about our concern with leaky runs, and those leaky runs turned into explosions today.
Yeah.
That the Nebraska defense was unable to contain.
Explosive. You need explosive. Double the Depends there. Double up on those Depends.
No level of heavy duty Depends was helping today.
Heavy flow
Depends. I'm angry, guys.
I hear and you.
I'm going to tell you okay. why. I'm going to tell you out. Why I'm angry.
It's true. Go.
And it's not what, like, when we've been angry a lot of the time the last 7 or 8 years, because there have been so many times in those instances where it was like, we really should have won that game. I'm thinking 20 rules first game ever against Minnesota. I'm thinking last year against Iowa. I'm yeah. thinking a number where, like, we basically felt like we outplayed the team, or at least had a chance at the end, or played even with the team, and we, it was our own mistakes that cost us. We still made some mistakes today that were frustrating, and we saw special teams mistakes rear their ugly heads again and some other stuff. But I'm more like, I'm really like, okay, let me step back.
Okay.
I feel like we are homers. We drink the Roulade. We drink the Kool-Aid. We drink whatever you want to put in front of us. I feel like we have some credibility. Like, I'm not calling for anybody to be fired. I love Matt Rhule. I love the direction of the program for the most part. This was not good enough. That's how I feel right now. This was not good enough in year three of any coach. I don't forget about the year three trend for Matt Rhule. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about for any coach, year three.
Yeah.
I still have expectations for greatness for this program. That's yeah. what fuels 400 plus consecutive sellouts.
Yes.
That's right. What fuels people coming back is the expectation of greatness and the expectation that we will commit to being great and trying to get back to that place. We can never let that go because it's what makes Nebraska special.
Yeah.
So from that viewpoint, from that vantage point, this was not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive line, the defense, and also these guys are getting paid now. We are often yes. careful to criticize the young men who are out there
right.
and putting their bodies on the line, and we respect them and yes. we love them.
That's a good point.
But they're getting paid.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The offensive line got their ass kicked today.
Yeah, they did.
The defense got pushed around.
Yep.
That's not good enough. And I don't. Maybe Michigan will end up being a 10 or 11 win team. Maybe right. they'll end up being.
They're very good.
End
up they're being, better.
They look good.
They're better than I thought they were.
They out talented us. They out physicaled us, and. Like, are we exhaling in relief if we're 8-4 now, guys? That's not a freaking playoff team that we
no,
saw.
No, I'll tell you that. You're right.
Are we headed towards 7-5?
Nebraska? You're talking about Nebraska?
Yeah.
Oh, Michigan not, might be, but no, I don't think no, Nebraska's not.
We're not a playoff team. We're not a playoff team.
What I'm saying, Matty-O, is are we 6-6 to 8-4 again, and we're sort of thrilled to get to 8-4?
I don't think so. I mean, this was game four. Like, I mean, we've been in the position before where we get off to a nice, you know, 3-4-0 star, whatever, and then we hit a 3-game skid in the middle of it. You know, there's so much season left. We're 1/3 through the season. There is a stretch coming here, and like I said, I even said this before we started recording. There's a stretch coming up here where we're going to have ourselves talked into us going on a 5-6 game winning streak in the next 3-4 days.
I'll be a 10-2 by Tuesday. I know
exactly.
We'll be a 10-2 by the end of this episode.
Emotions are raw. The wounds are raw right now. The bottom line is Michigan has for years been building those trenches. For years. It is like a factory at this point. They have pushed everybody. They push Ohio State around. Ohio State can't beat those guys. Like they are just offensive and defensive line and at linebacker, they are so damn tough. And I don't think we can judge how we're going to do the rest of the season based off that. Now, is it concerning, you know, those leaky runs, those depends runs in that zone read, that inside outside zone run game? Is that concerning? Yeah, it's really damn concerning because the rest of the Big Ten sees that. And there's some other really damn good running teams in the Big Ten. That is concerning.
No, it's very concerning because being there and seeing what I saw today, the one thing I saw is Justice? He didn't even have, there was no juking. He didn't have to trick us. He didn't have to do anything. There was no hands touched on him when he scored. Like, that's the thing that pissed me off the most is like, it's almost like they didn't have to try. If they found a hole, it was wide freaking open. It wasn't even a challenge for these guys. And that is a concern to me is that we talked about it like we needed to contain. That was the number one concern. Contain the quarterback. Stop the run. We got to figure this out. we'll be all right. And it was exactly as we feared today. And so I don't know. That is a concern for me, you guys. I don't know how this is going to play out for us this season, but that the one thing that we were scared about was I think worse than what we thought it was going to be.
But now we know what the problem is, right? Like, and we talked about this last year a lot with Rhule making changes on the offensive side of the ball. Matt Rhule does not stand pat, right?
He's the guy that's
coached just about every position on the football field.
Touché.
He's coached some defense. Like, he's not going to sit here and be like, okay, John, you know, hopefully you got something figured out. If he has to step in and be like, here's what we need to do to stop these zone runs, like, here's what we're going to do. So, and you know, you hear rumblings, and I hate to bring up like coaches that aren't here anymore, but you heard rumblings about like Butler and Tony White, like clashing heads on some defensive philosophy type stuff. And I couldn't help but think about that today. It's just human nature, right? So you just kind of think, okay, now what were we doing? Maybe we're doing something differently than we were last year when we were really good at D, or was it just Ty and Nash that were the two guys clogging that thing up? You know, you're second guessing like everything at this point.
Yeah, I hear you.
But what I wanted to say, not everybody does it as well as Michigan either, guys. Like, people are going to try to do what Michigan did. Michigan has some dudes. They've got some studs.
Yeah.
On the O-line, the D-line, that running back. Like, those two running backs, man, Haynes and Marshall. Like, we love Emmett, but Emmett's not on the level of those guys. Let's be real. Like, those guys are NFL-caliber running backs.
So, if we're going to say on the level of, okay, can we just get into this right now? And, TJ, you alluded to it, too. All right, you alluded. Speaking of being on the level, is Rayol on the level? Like, what do we think of Dylan right now? We talked about with what's his bucket? Michigan's quarterback, like
Bryce Underwood.
Yeah, are we talking on the? Is he on the same level? Like that we thought he was.
They're two different quarterbacks.
I would say I was very angry at everything after the game, and I may or may not have made some comments about Rayola. That I regret.
We are not in that game without Dylan.
Post game, I've come the furthest away from my initial post game.
Good. On All right. Road.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. I mean, look, and in the second half, Underwood looked like Underwood's an athlete. He can run.
Yeah.
He missed some bad throws
definitely.
Threw at 100 miles an hour at a guy 5 yards away. That guy's got a ways to go. He's probably going to be pretty good. But I mean, he had some throws in the first half, like between the throws and the running. I was like, holy crap, this guy's got it all. But I think he's still a bit raw, Underwood. And Matty, oh, you're right. There's two different kind of players. But I mean, you know, Dylan is definitely better than he was last year. I mean, look, we're sitting here talking about how good that defense is. Dylan was 30 of 41, 308 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, I just wish, I don't think they talked about, since we're just getting raw and real here, they talked all off season about how he was working on his mobility.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. I don't know if it's decision-making, like maybe he just needs to decide to take off sooner or throw the ball away sooner. But I don't know if it's decision. He doesn't look a whole lot different to me mobility.
No. Yeah.
No.
In the backfield, it seems like he's just there. Like, he's not moving a whole lot. And
when he does move though, like there's potential for good things to happen. Like, that's what I was thinking about. Like, at the game, like, you're thinking, okay, when there are sacks happening, is the quarterback holding the ball too long? Is the offensive line not getting their blocks? Is it a combination of both? But like, yeah, maybe he held the ball a little too long, but also when he held the ball a little too long, sometimes something good happens, right?
True.
Like, he held it too long, shook off a sack, and then completed one to Dane Key. Cool. And I'm
as we're sitting here talking about this, I mean, that first drive was kept alive. Like, there were a couple times where he was dead to rights and he sort of scrambled and kept it alive. And then that bought time for somebody to get open.
Mm-hmm. Right. What I think about just you saying that right there, I noticed that a ton. Like, he could shake one off, throw a good pass, but that's just not freaking sustainable, man. Like, our O-line has just got to be better. Like, running for his life, dude. He was running for his life, and he can make those plays, but he can't do it all the time.
When you run the offense Nebraska runs, with a traditional drop back quarterback that is not really a dual threat in the way that like an Underwood or a TJ Latif is or an Adrian Martinez was, then your protection is that much more important. Your offensive line protection is that much more important. And I want to believe I think, Matteo, to your point from earlier, I want to believe that like that's one of the stoutest defensive lines we're going to face. Those are some of the most athletic guys, not just in the conference, but in the country. So right, Geoff, I'm hoping, like, I think that's what, I think what was concerning, we kind of had some concerns about the front seven on D. That was a big problem. Sort of thought the offensive line was supposed to be a point of strength here. Teddy Prohaska, I mean, Teddy Pro's battled injuries, but he's played a ton of football for Nebraska. Justin Evans, Witkowski, those two guys have played
Rocco's
a ton of football.
Played a bunch.
Rocco's played a ton of football at the college level. Gunnar Gatula, you know, is the youngest.
A little shaky at left tackle.
Yeah.
You know, Gatula's got a lot of potential, but he's young.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be good.
But Pritchett has been, you know, hit and miss.
Yeah.
You know, you want that left tackle. I think we'd like to have that left tackle spot a little more concrete.
Well, and the whole line got their asses kicked today. Yeah, I mean, they just did. And again, I hope Michigan wins 11 games or 10 games or whatever. And we're looking back and saying, that's a playoff caliber team, and we only lost by.
We hung on. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. But maybe that's the case. But I just, guys, like, I will, again, we'll see. And also, like, the other thing I don't want to do is, like, we all know how we're going to be. Like, we just said, we're going to have ourselves at 10-2 by Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I don't want to write off. You know, I don't want to write off my enjoyment of the rest of the season. Of course, I'm going to enjoy the Michigan State game. Of course, like, we're going to get excited for the rest of the game.
No, you're already jacked up. Yeah.
Right. But it's just sort of, it's just like my initial knee jerk reaction, just being a fan, an emotional fan. Yeah. My initial knee jerk reaction is, well, the defense is clearly like the pass D's great, but okay, we're in the Big Ten. Like, everybody runs the ball. So, like, we've taken a step back on defense. I mean, the offense is better. I think the offense last year scores about 3 points in this game. So the offense is better, but it's like we were throwing it all in the blender and it still doesn't look great today. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think a thing that you can compare it to is it sucks that it's happening. I think it just got done, but you see Indiana just lay the wood to a top 10 team in the Big Ten right now. And we're like, why the hell can't that be us? Like, why can't that be us? Like, you see them do that, and it's just, it's frustrating when you have to compare that to what we had to go through today. It just sucks, like, because you know you can do it, but it just, you see something like that happen, and you're just like, oh, great.
That is spot on, Geoff, and I was going to bring that up, and I think it's hard. Not, again, I think Rule's the right guy for this place, and he clearly wants to be here for the long term, and that's important, and that's valuable, and all those things. But it's impossible not to look at that situation. I don't even like Kurt Cignetti. I find him obnoxious. Yeah. You know,
totally.
I wanted Illinois to win this game.
Yeah.
But Illinois is clearly not the number, and clearly not a top 10 team.
No,
they're not the number nine team or in the country or whatever they were. Indiana wins this game 63-10.
Unbelievable. So, yeah.
Like, now top I don't know. Team. I don't know. Like, Indiana didn't really have to play anybody last year. And when they played Ohio State, they lost. And when they got to the playoff, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't even know who else is on their schedule. We'll see how this goes. But like, they didn't look like he flipped it in year one.
Right.
You know, he flipped it in year one. And that's what, like, it's very hard to do. It's not common. In fact, it almost never happens. And so,
yeah,
whatever. But you just like, whether it's one of those examples or an example of a coach who's been a place a few years and they just have sort of a magical special season or what, like, either way, we haven't had any of that.
Yeah.
No,
Cignetti and Rule is not apples to apples.
No. Like,
Cignetti was a college coach and brought a bunch of his successful college players from James Madison to Indiana. Totally different than like Matt Rule's fired from the Panthers in the NFL. You know, he doesn't have the luxury of bringing a bunch of guys with him.
Sure.
So Cignetti had that kind of like head start, so to speak. And other coaches, I guess, can do that too, but we didn't have that luxury. But I will say, like, yeah, it's a great point, Geoff, because it's hard not to look at that and be like, God, if Indiana, like perennial doormat of the Big Ten, can flip it that fast, like, why are we, why can't we do this?
Yeah,
like, right. Why have we lost 28 straight to ranked opponents? And Indiana is beating a top 10 team. Now, granted, they're, like you said, they're probably not really top 10.
But still.
They are right now.
Yeah,
they're beating a top 10 team. They're number 9 today. And they just beat a number 9 team 63-10.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And you look at that and go, why the hell can't we do that? Why the hell can't we?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And that Illinois team's not bad. They're not as bad as that score indicates. No. Yeah. But they jumped all over them. Illinois, it looked like Illinois forgot how to tackle for a little bit of that game.
Yeah. Another frustrating thing about today, guys, was, you know, I think the defense was going to struggle no matter what. You know, they often, like, the mismatches at certain positions were going to be there no matter what. But just some of the, like, this also seems to happen in Nebraska a lot. We thought special teams was fixed, and then we miss a field goal, you know? Yeah. And like the first two drives.
Field a punt at the 4-yard line.
Yeah, yeah, right. That kind
that
of
too,
thing.
Yeah.
The stuff we haven't done all year pops up in the biggest game to date. Maybe it won't end up being the biggest game of the year, but it's the biggest game to date. And one of the biggest games of the year. And also, like, those first two drives, we get the ball to start the game. We hand it off to Emmett. He ran for 14 yards. I was like, okay, here we go. Yeah. And like, we moved down the field. Let me tell you what I hated. We could have gotten a first down, but it was, you know what I'm going to say.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It was second and three.
Fade route.
Inside BS. Inside the 10.
Cannot do that.
We could have got a first down inside the 10.
Cannot do that. That fade route was absolute garbage.
You have
Dana, but that was garbage. That play, I was going to say, I had that locked and loaded for this episode. I was going to say, the reason that, like, that game turned on a dime was that play call right there. For whatever reason, after that, things just didn't seem to go the way we wanted them to go.
I hated it. You have three downs. Since we ended up going for it on fourth, you have three downs to get 3 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even that play they ran on fourth and two or whatever it was, run that play on second and three, you know, like run that play on third and what, you're right. Like, that was a nifty little shovel pass thing to Lindenmeyer. He also almost got it. He extended the ball, but like, run that play on second and three. And then it's like third and half a yard and you can just lean forward and get the first. Like, you know what I'm saying? We love Dana. Again, the offense is clearly better, even though they sort of disappeared in the second half. We love Dana, but big brained offensive coordinators. They all suffer from it.
I did not hate the decision to go for it on fourth, though. I didn't hate the aggressiveness. You look back. That's one of those things to me. You look back after you don't get it, and you're like, oh shit, we could have used those 3 points. And at the end of the game, it's like, yeah, we could use those 3 points. But you're going down the field, you're moving the ball, you got Michigan on the ropes. You can get a first down.
Let's hammer him. I get it. And, let's hammer him.
You know, like, right? I don't know. I don't hate the aggressiveness. I don't hate that.
I don't like it because points are going to be at a premium against a pretty good defense.
Yeah.
Yep.
And everyone was sort of talking about, look, if they go for it and get it, then I'm sitting here saying how much I love the call, you know?
Right. Sure. Right.
But I just like take the points. And the other thing is, like, I know this is a way that fans think, and it probably shouldn't be a way that coaches think. And it's clearly not a way that coaches think. Get the lead against Michigan in your house in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Your first possession, you go down the field. Yes, it's a little bit disappointing that we didn't get in the end zone, but kick the field goal. And everybody, psychologically, you look at the scoreboard, you have the lead against Michigan. Just take the, you know, I just think you take the points there.
I'm with you on that one. Like, just conference play, we're going up against a big dog like Michigan. You got it. Exactly. The exact way I visualized it was like, hey, if you make that, we're winning against Michigan in the first quarter. Like, we're beating them. But Owens, I do agree with you at the same time too. Like, I do like the aggressiveness. Like, well, how, if we get this and we score, these guys are demoralized, and then we go on to just beat the living shit out of them too. So I don't know. I'm not a coach, but it's just, I would have gone for the field goal personally.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I will say this. Let me say this. And I'm just looking at the play-by-play or the drive-by-drive in the first half in particular. And like the Huskers fought and they did not give up, right? So yeah. I was pretty demoralized, and there's text evidence to prove it that many people there's text evidence to prove it. I was pretty demoralized.
It's going in the vault. It's going in the vault, General. Don't worry about it.
Thank you. Well, there's you know, 9 other guys on that text chain.
A lot of emotion, a lot of manic, behavior, language.
I was pretty demoralized after the first quarter, where it started so well. We left points on the table and we're down 10-0. So props to the Huskers. I'm looking at the second quarter. We scored 17 points in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. We forced the fumble. That was a stop on third down anyway, but we forced the fumble and got a field goal after that. Then forced a punt, put together a 7-play touchdown drive. So suddenly it's 10-10.
It's a great touchdown throw by Dylan.
I kept saying it's 0-0 again. We're back to 0-0.
Exactly. 10-10 with under 2 minutes left.
And then what happened?
I was like, we can't let him score. Crap. Can't let him score. 75-yard touchdown run.
I couldn't believe it. We said that right when we were like, all right, we'll go into halftime, tied up. We'll start over fresh, second half. The last thing we can afford to do is let them even come close to have a chance to put points on the board. And then, like a 70-yard.
Yeah. It was just like, no way.
Yeah,
But then the Hail Mary at the end of the half.
Yeah, like, and that was hilarious, by the way. Like, fans in the stands were like groaning and grumbling, and then it's like, oh, we're just gonna let the clock run out and go to half. And then we called timeout with 1 second left, and everybody's like, oh god, what are we doing here? And I'm like, well, it's fourth down. Like, we're at like the 50. Like, why not? Yeah. Why not just throw it down there?
See what happens.
And then we score, and I turn around to the guy behind me that said, "What are we doing?" I said, turns out that pretty good timeout, huh? And he's like, yeah, I guess it was. That was awesome.
That was so cool.
I think that's another thing that was frustrating to me, not to go back to negative, but it felt like we got some breaks in this game.
Yeah.
Isn't that
some BS? Like, we scored a touchdown off of a Hail Mary to go into halftime, and we still lost the game.
Yeah, right.
Like, unbelievable. You can't ask for a bigger break than that. Like,
exactly.
The officiating was not the best. I mean, it wasn't atrocious. The false start they called, that was
garbage.
Defensive offsides. I mean, that was a huge, it was 3rd and 3. It would have been a first down, and said it was third, and then it was third and eight.
And on TV, everybody on TV was like, "Look, yes, he wasn't directly across. The defender wasn't directly across from Pritchett. That clearly impacted him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it made, you know, like, so like, that's, oh, that's the way, well, however the official said it was so annoying. Like he didn't.
That was garbage.
Threaten that, whatever. That was.
And they made a couple makeup, like there was, it was makeup. What did they called it? They had a flag and then it would have helped us. And they picked up the flag.
So, yes.
And then there was one later where they threw another flag and picked it up again.
So, Owens, so that's the one thing I wanted to say. I was like, hey, just notice to all you Big Ten referees, if quit throwing flags and then can you just not pick them up?
Yeah,
like, can you just like, figure it out right away? Stop doing that.
Keep throwing it. Like, you know what? Never mind. I my mistake.
Oops. Yeah. Can you quit?
Oh, God.
Quit throwing flags if you're going to pick them up, for the love of God.
And there was a taunting one that they called on Michigan that kind of bailed us out.
Oh, totally.
But
yeah.
We'll take it, obviously. And then there was one really bad one, though. It was when we were in, I want to say it was in the second half. We were just not moving the ball. And it was on third and long, and we were backed up. And it was like a 3-yard pass. It would not have come close to getting the first down. But the I can't remember who, it might have been Emmett. I think it was Emmett, got drilled. Yeah. Well before the ball got there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was so clearly interference. And that would have kept the drive going. And, like, mm-hmm. I don't know what would have happened, but, like, that's game-changing, drive-changing stuff. Maybe not game-changing, but drive-changing stuff. It's super frustrating. It was frustrating. So we talked about the first half at 17-17 going into halftime. And I'm sort of like, okay, here we go. We can believe. The offense just kind of went into a shell in the second half. It was really frustrating. They did. Yeah. They ran a total of 6 plays in the third quarter. They had 2.
Yeah. We couldn't even get it past to like midfield, really. I mean, we kind of ducked down on that end of the field.
And then, I mean, we cobbled together. We had that field goal to start the fourth quarter to make it 27-20. It was like, hold your breath. I mean, we still got a shot here. And then after doing that, we still had a shot. We held Michigan to a 3-and-out. So we got the ball back and it was 27-20. And then we went 3-and-out again. Just like so frustrating. And then the dagger was that Michigan, it was 16. I'm looking at this thing, 16 plays, 77 yards. And they took almost 9 minutes off the clock. Mm-hmm. And that's when they scored to go ahead 30-20. That was another thing though, that really
2-score game hurts, man. Like that just hurt. Yeah.
But that was another thing that really agitated me though. On that drive, we had them at third down multiple times.
Yes.
Third and long multiple times.
Yes. Like,
and I think you had Sayre Wright missed a tackle and Deshaun McCullough. Sayre Wright, like, literally had the guy and just let him go.
Yeah.
Another one was Deshaun McCullough. It was Deshaun McCullough in a one-on-one, I think, with Justice Haynes. Yeah. So it wasn't like he had him wrapped up or anything.
Yes.
But the guy, he needed to get 10 yards, and, like, we just didn't make the tackle.
We could drill them on first, second, and then third down, we just could not do it. Like, if they needed 10, they got 19, I remember. I'm like, good God, man. Just make a stop. Yeah, that hurts.
It was so frustrating. And so, and then, look. Credit to the offense, you know, I don't know. Like, we're down 10. We get the ball with about 4 minutes left. We run a successful 2-minute drill, which we haven't done in years. Does it count, though? Does it count, though, when you're down 10?
No, exactly, right?
It doesn't win or tie the game.
Offsided after that, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it felt good doing it, but, like, at the same time when they were running down the field, I'm like, this is kind of all for nothing.
There's not enough. You're looking at the clock.
You know what I mean?
There's not enough. You know, there's not enough time.
Yeah, exactly.
Even at the end, though, we had 2 timeouts, and it was confusing on TV because we had 2, and then we went to the 2-minute warning, and they came back, and then the graphic on TV only showed 1 timeout, and that one of the announcers even made a comment and said,
"I think that was
even made a comment and said Nebraska down to 1 timeout," and Michael Boy looked at me and said, "Why do they only have 1 timeout? That was the 2-minute warning." So anyway, they still had 2. It was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we didn't get the onside kick, theoretically, we could have gotten the ball back with
like
about 30. No, I think it would have been like 30 or 35 seconds.
It would have been 30.
Yeah, around 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm thinking 2015 Michigan State. And just like, who knows, it's crazier things. But we couldn't even get the stop there.
No.
We couldn't even.
Yeah, anyway. Just couldn't do it.
I'll shift gears to something a little bit more lighthearted. CBS broadcast, Brad Nessler and Gary.
Was it good?
Was it good? Yeah.
It was so good.
Nessler is my favorite, man. Nessler and Danielson.
I just wanted to hear the, I didn't get to hear that. Damn it! I
was so good, and they did a lot, played up a lot about the history of both schools before. I mean, I'm solo parenting this weekend, so I was like making mashed potatoes in the kitchen and trying to pay attention, and Charlotte's running around, you know, whatever. But it was so great. The opening was great. You know, okay. Have you guys seen For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's underrated. Been a while, so, but yeah,
it's a love story, but it's an underrated baseball movie.
It is.
And so Kevin Costner's a pitcher and he's throwing a perfect game, but the whole thing is like you go flashbacks between there's present day and then he flashbacks to sort of throughout his career.
Billy Chappell.
And there's a guy, his friend named Davis. I can't remember Davis's last name, but his friend named Davis, who he was a teammate with and then later played against. And he steps on the mound and he says, he's just in this mode of throwing this perfect game. And he says, "You look old, Davis. Are we that old?" And like when I saw Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson, that's the first thing I thought of. not even because like, I wasn't even like, yes, they look older, of course. But also it was a reflection. I was like, are we that old?
Yeah.
Like these guys are right. Like, yes, these are the guys of my youth. Like what happened to these guys? What happened to us? Like, holy cow.
Like there was nothing better. Like Brad Nessler seemed to always call like a big 2:30 ABC game back in the day. Tons of Nebraska games.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So those guys are as much as anybody. Those guys are the voice of college football.
Oh yeah.
Touché.
You know, and they're very great together.
Very good.
One or both of them, isn't Danielson retired? One or both of them retiring? Or
Danielson is, I think, because there was a thing earlier this week on CBS. They tweeted out his first ever game he broadcasted was at Nebraska. It was Nebraska Baylor in like 1991 for ESPN.
Okay.
And so they're saying, like, you know, all these 30 some years later, you know, he's back in Lincoln and hasn't been here in a while. And
well, if I'm going to do one more fan gripe, it was that after losing, like, you win that game. You're in the top 25. The sky's the limit. One thought I had was we're back to, you know, BTN C broadcast, you know, third team broadcast team, JV broadcast team who doesn't even like know which players are on which team for the rest of the season. Yeah. Here we go.
You know what I've been thinking about doing? I've been thinking about doing like I've done with Husker basketball in the recent years. Just mute the TV and put on the radio broadcast because Damon Benning is so good. Like I don't very rarely get a chance to listen to Damon during the game because I just don't listen to the radio during the game. I'm usually there or watching the TV. Benning is so good. Like he's so good at breaking down what the defense is doing or the X's and O's. And he's just got such a good presence about him. I love listening to Damon on the radio.
The new guy's pretty good too, right?
Yeah. I've heard him a little bit.
It'd be good. It'd be good to start incorporate like, you know, he's the new voice of the Huskers. So you're right. Like, it'd be good to start incorporating that as.
I might do that. If we're like for Maryland, I'm thinking like Maryland might be like 11 a.m. BTN, like Maryland game, right?
Yeah.
That might be a trial run. Do the old mute the TV broadcast and do the radio.
There you go.
Yeah. See how it goes.
You have to sync it up though, which can be a little bit of a challenge because there's a little bit of a time difference.
Okay, guys. Well, let's do. We kind of aired our grievances already, but let's do reasons for excitement or optimism. Reasons for concern. Anybody want to start?
I'll go. Yeah, go ahead, Owens.
I mean, reason for optimism to me is probably terribly, terribly obvious. We have Dylan Raiola and Dana Holgorsen. The sky is not falling. I mean, this kid. Yeah, he's.
No, there is. Played. No, there is. The sky is fun. There is no point to life. But go ahead.
Okay, TJ.
It's over.
We're going to be talking, you know, we're 11-1 or 10-2. That's where we're going to be in just a few days. But no, we have Dylan Raiola. Like he made some throws today. Like did he have still kind of look like, you know, those flashes of Raiola last year as a freshman, a little bit big game jitters, a little bit. But damn it, he made some really good throws. And we are not in that game at all without Dylan Raiola. We are not. I mean, he still completed like 70-some% of his passes, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns against Michigan. Like, that's a really good football team. Do I wish we'd run the ball better? Yeah, I do. But reasons for optimism, we've got number 15.
Yeah, I love it. One more thing. So he would have had one more touchdown And it was a pivotal point in the game. And Nazaiah Hunter inexplicably stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
I didn't. Did he?
I don't know what was going on there. Yeah, he definitely did. They showed it, and he did not get pushed or forced or coerced in any way. He just, the defender slipped. He was wide open for a touchdown. And I don't know what, like, I mean, he, like, I don't know what's going on there. So that's one more reason. Sorry. I know we're doing a different segment now, but that's just one more reason for frustration of like not showing up and screwing your head on in a big game, right? Like,
know where you're at on the field. Yeah.
Then we kicked a field goal instead. But if that's a touchdown,
that would have made it 27-24.
We lost by three. Instead of 27-20.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big believer that, like, if something happens differently, like, you can never assume that everything else plays out the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a different score, then maybe different plays are called or whatever. So you never assume. But we lost by three, guys, and that's a 4-point difference. It's a 4-point swing. So, like, anyway, sorry. Geoff, do you have anything there?
Yeah, I do.
Geoff, go.
I do. Actually, I'm going to go. I have the exact same answer as Owens, but I'm going to say it's a concern. I think Dylan in this game was a concern. Like, I'm not as optimistic as
Dylan
I was
Raiola. Because, you're talking about number 15, the quarterback for Nebraska, is a concern for you.
In this game, it was, Owens. I'm not going to lie to you. If you think about some of the plays that developed during this game, there was three times that he damn near almost got intercepted. I mean, damn near got intercepted, throwing the ball recklessly out of his hand. Like, there were times where I'm like, I can't trust this guy right now. And I'm trying not to be a dick because he's a good player, but you cannot tell me that in the back of your head, were you not at least at one point being like, would Latif be better right now? Would he be better right now?
Like, I never thought
that. I love you, Geoff. I love you.
I was legit worried for as much as he has got, and this is not the fault of him. This is the fault of Husker Nation hyping up somebody so much that maybe
Dylan.
You're talking about
Dylan?
Yes.
Dude was a five-star fucking recruit.
Yes, I know. Geoff. I know, but this is part of...
We might have to edit that out, TJ.
Yeah. Getting it so hyped, this is not his fault. But sometimes you can't live up to the hype that they want you to live to. He's a five-star recruit, but Bryce Underwood looked better than him a lot of this game. So that is kind of a concern to me. It did worry me a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
I really appreciate you saying that, Geoff. And let me tell you why. I'm not even sure where I come down on this, but I had all those feels during the game. I certainly had those feelings during the game. And was had the thought of, could we at least get Latif? I said that, you know, last year with Harburg, could we at least get Latif for some change of pace type of stuff out here? Whatever. But Dylan's numbers, I think I err more on the side of where Matty O is right now. But I felt that way during the game. Does some careless stuff with the ball, flinging it, throwing it up, whatever. Definitely both Cincinnati and Michigan, he should have been picked more than he has been so far. Mm-hmm. I do believe, though, he looks better this year than he did last year.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, you could make the argument, okay, those first three games, he's completing nearly 80% of his passes, but whatever. Michigan's a different story, and he still completed, whatever, 70-some percent of his passes. That's pretty dang good. So, I understand fans who are kind of, like, frustrated.
We need to pump the brakes on the Latif replacing Raiola. We have only seen Latif play against Akron and Houston Christian. So people need to chill out. Because he's facing it's not Michigan that he's playing. So everybody needs to chill out. Let's replace Dylan Raiola with.
That's why I said that it's not Raiola's fault. Like, that's just the fans building up.
You know what I'm
going to
do? I'm going to send Dylan a handwritten letter.
Because I love Dylan.
My friend Geoff at Lincoln says you're terrible.
Because
that's basically what you're saying, Geoff.
Don't you ever say that from me? Don't you ever say that to him from me?
No, I think it's a fair conversation.
I think it's fair to criticize. I think it's crazy to say anything to the effect of Dylan Raiola was the reason we lost, or Dylan Raiola should be replaced.
I didn't say that. I just said it was just a concern of some of his decision making during that game that it didn't look like the player that we've wanted to see after year one. Like, this was supposed to be the year that he was going to take that big jump, and it didn't look like that to me. That's all. That's all I'm saying. There's a lot of seasons.
You're entitled to your opinion, left. Jeff.
All right. A lot of season left.
All right. I'm going to say a reason for concern is the defensive front seven and ability to stop the run. Leaky runs. The depends are not working.
That's not good, dude. That is not good. Yeah.
No. Again, I think probably very few teams are going to have like the talent that Michigan has. Right. But one thing, again, we're the Common fans. We don't sit around and watch film of a bunch of other teams in our spare time. But one thing I read about was Michigan had some injuries on their offensive line. Their offensive line struggled against Oklahoma. Maybe it's not a traditional Michigan offensive line. And I don't know if it's the line or the running backs, but they seem to be doing just fine.
Yeah, right? They're doing just fine.
Good.
And again,
God,
like, look,
man.
there's some bright spots. We talked about Jaben Wright. Vincent Shavers made some serious plays. They sound like there's some bright spots. And again, I think with the D line, we're all positive. Like Cade Perzak, Riley Van Poppel. Petrak, Riley Van Poppel, Cam Lenhart blocked to pass. Like, it's just all young, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, ideally those guys, you know, whatever. But, like, hopefully that means they can take a leap yet this year. I don't want to feel like we're resigned to, like,
I think
hoping the offense can win us some games in 2025. Like, hopefully the defense, like, but that's definitely a concern.
No, definitely.
I'll say a reason. Go ahead, Mario. Go ahead.
I'm going to say, like, this, we're going to see, and I think I said something to this effect last year, like, we're going to see how these coaches are getting paid. Like, there's clearly things that need to be fixed, right?
Yeah.
So let's see John Butler earn his paycheck. Let's see Coach Rule earn his paycheck and get this fixed and develop these guys. And if they don't have a leap this year and we see improvement, then it's like, oh crap. You know, then is it just personnel as our, and then you question the coaching. But like, again, we're four games in. Like the fact that they are young, because we talked about how RVP has tremendous potential. He's still a very young guy, still hasn't played a ton of college football. And then you look at across personnel wise across the D line, it's pretty much, you know, quite a mix of guys that are in their first year, either as a transfer or first year starting. And it makes sense. It makes sense that their things aren't quite looking the way that they have when we've had guys that have, you know, tons of experience like Ty and Nash and some of those guys the last few years. I'm optimistic. I think they're talented guys. I think they have the potential to be really good football players, but there's got to be some fixes there. And I don't think it's necessarily that they're not good enough players. Like, to me, a lot of that is they're out of position. Like, it's more scheme to me than them not being able to be there and make the play. Like, we had a lot of, did we miss some tackles? We did, but there's quite a few where it's just open field guy one-on-one and good luck. Like, if you ever try to tackle somebody in the open field, you know how hard that is.
So you don't think it's just them getting their asses pushed around?
I think there's some of that, because I do think Michigan's more talented. But it's some of those runs weren't necessarily just like getting pushed around. It's like the run fits or like the scheme when there's nobody there. That's not necessarily. It could be somebody was in the wrong spot, but also it could be, hey, we schemed it wrong. Like we played the wrong defense against what they're trying to do. Like that can be a thing too.
Now, well, you know more about that than the MO, but the one thing that I just don't understand is like how you cannot just, like I said, Justice Haynes didn't have to like even juke anybody. Like
that's what I mean.
Wasn't even touched.
That's what I mean. Like when there's no one there, then like either somebody missed where they were supposed to be, or we schemed it wrong. We're in the wrong run fits for whatever we thought they were going to do was completely wrong. When there's nobody there, that's what that says to me. It's not always necessarily they just pushed us around.
Yeah, I get you.
If they were lining up, if they were lining up in like an I,
well, then we got to figure that shit out.
That would be more concerning to me. But it's a lot of zone. It's a lot of zone runs and fit and run fits and those types of things.
Either way, it's not a good thing, right? Like,
no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm hoping on the glass half full optimistic side of things that that's what it is. It's a scheme and run fits instead of like, hey, our guys are getting pushed around and they're not strong enough and good enough. There might be some of that because of their inexperience and Michigan's really, really good. But I don't want to believe that that's the sole reason is that we're just not good enough.
Yeah.
Well, so here I'm gonna do one more reason for optimism, and then I'm gonna read a tweet, and then we're gonna get out of here. Our arbitrary analytics friend of the program, Eric Hess, the Huskers are the first team in the last 30 years to hold their first four opponents each under 110 yards passing. Again, like I feel like we could come up with qualifiers for why whatever positive stats that showed up against Cincinnati, Akron, and HCU, whatever. Now we did it against Michigan too. The pass defense is for real. And I do want to believe that if the pass defense really is this good, other teams are not going to be as talented and able to just run the ball down our throats like
right.
that. So like that should like work to our advantage, you know, net. And then I'm going to read one more. It's the 28th consecutive loss to a ranked team. Sixth consecutive conference opening loss. Very frustrating. As it's become clear, I was very aggravated after the game.
Yeah, you were.
Matt Schick had a tweet that helped me center a little bit. Nebraska was manhandled in the trenches and yet still had plenty of opportunities. An empty opening possession, a missed field goal, and an INT in the first half didn't help. The absence of Nash, Hutmaker, and Ty Robinson are real. Nebraska won't compete for championships until they consistently win on the lines of scrimmage. Every time you think this program is about to take their next step, you realize there's still a ways to go. That being said, the program is unquestionably improving.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that's true. The offense is better. The defense has taken a step back, but only because we lost Nash and Ty and Jamari Butler and a bunch of dudes, right?
And a D coordinator.
I don't think the defense is like,
it looks lost. Better.
Yeah. The defense is, this defense is better than most of Frost or Riley's defenses.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah. Even this year. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So the way I look at it is instead of going for it on fourth down, we kick a field goal and we make it. And then we don't miss one a possession or two later. We're celebrating right now. You know what I mean? Like that's the thin freaking line. We are right there.
Horn is 100. Don't step out of bounds.
Yes, exactly. Right there.
Little things, boys. The little things.
You never know
how the rest of the game plays out. But yeah, I mean, like we left. Yes, we could point to Michigan had that halfback pass where the guy was wide open and the running back just threw so Michigan had their misses too, but we left points on the board, right? We left points out there.
Yep.
So you got to hope the young team keeps getting better and
touche.
I'm going to try not to be too angry tonight. All right.
No,
we're all right. Hey, this is like, you know, we have a playoff now. So this would be the equivalent of like, you know, in with NCAA basketball, you have like a quad one loss and then like, it actually doesn't hurt you that bad because you're trying to make the tournament and a quad one loss is not that big of a deal. This is a quad one loss, guys. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
This is
that's
a quad
right.
one.
Yeah. A lot of season left here, baby. A lot of wins to be had.
A lot of runway left.
Yeah.
A lot of runway. Sure. All right. Yeah. Huskers lose to Michigan 30-27. We're coming up on a bye week, Common Fans. So we're just going to do this. Will be our only episode this week. Common Fans going to take a little breather for a little bit here for just a few days.
Yeah.
But we'll be back at you very soon. Hey, be kind to each other, Common Fans.
Agreed. Just be nice. It's fine. Just be nice.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back at you next week, Common Fans. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child, did that put them in the iron?
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska's.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.